The long and winding road leads us here to the doorstep of the postseason. One win, a little bit of help away from ending 17 seasons of misery.
Allen steps up. Jumps over the defenders to pick up the first. Now, how many quarterbacks have you ever seen hurdle anyone?
Oops, he throws. Touchdown! Andre Reed for the touchdown! The Bills have scored!
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You are listening to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. This is episode number 26 of the podcast. As always, I'm joined with Alex, and I'm Matt. How you doing, Alex?
In my Madden franchise, Zay Jones was my leading receiver. I'm going to be so sad to see him go in real life.
Well, I think on that one, you just brought us to the only real Bills news and actually news covering. I know we had a tweet last week asking about if Bean's a magician, what would he get for the Zay Jones trade?
Well, I mean, I think this was just like a normal trade. I don't see any magic in it. I mean, it's a 2021 draft pick, not a 2020 draft pick.
Yeah,
so true. We're not going to see anything from it for a while. You know, it needed to happen.
It's a bit of a psychic. I think I should be asking him for his should be asking him for the next lottery numbers if you can actually predict.
I mean, either that or at least try and ask him if the Bills can trade for, you know, AJ Green or something like that, or Von Miller. That would be nice too.
Well, I think Bengals have literally ruled out actually getting trading AJ Green.
I think. Because they have to say that so they can get fans to keep coming to the games. You know, I mean, you're not going to sell tickets if you trade away your only All-Star. So. Mm. They'll say all the right things, but what they do is going to be different because that's just the way it works.
True, and it's possible that obviously they're what now? I think after this round of games are now 6-0, something like that. I think
other way around.
Yeah. So, six, oh, sorry, 0-6.
Yeah. Yeah.
my apologies there, and the Bills are 1-4. Oh, God.
I actually met a Bengals fan today. I was at work, and you know, I work at Vodafone in Cambridge, and a guy came in. He's from America, setting up an account. He said he lives in Tennessee, so I had all of the things to be able to talk about with him, the Tennessee game and the Bengals game. And he doesn't think that they should trade AJ Green. He says that. You know, they need to try and salvage the season. He's probably going to be saying something different after this week with another loss. But I told him, and this is my philosophy on anything, trade away everyone, get draft picks, and focus on an offensive line, a quarterback, and a secondary. And then there's your rebuild. Everything else you can fill in.
Yeah, I think obviously... That's the Dolphins' philosophy, isn't it? What they're trying to do. I mean, with the Bengals, I can see why. Obviously, they want to keep fans in. They want to see if they can try and get something out of it. But
did you see how the Dolphins game ended?
No, I didn't.
Okay, so Fitzpatrick comes in and leads them down the field, and they score the game tying touchdown. They just need to kick the extra point for the tie score, right?
Yeah.
The coaching staff decides to go for it. Let's try and win the game. There's 2 seconds left or whatever. Let's try and win the game. So they go for it. And it's a wide receiver screen, and it gets blown up immediately. The wide receiver drops it. They blow it. They lose the game. My thought is, did they deliberately call the worst play possible so they can lose the game and guarantee the loss?
To be honest, I don't know. To be honest, I think it's possible. I mean, were they 17-3 down until the fourth quarter? I mean, if it was a case that they were going to do that,
then they should have left Josh Rosen in.
Yeah, and they shouldn't have. Yeah. If they'd got those two touchdowns, I think, to be honest, I think that would have been a play. They think, yeah, I think we can do it. We can win it. So they'd go for it. I don't think it was them ideally saying, screw it. We're not going to kick the extra point. Let's go for a failed 2-point.
I would love to be a fly in the room of that front office. Is the GM like, hey, we're going to suck this year, but I'll keep you on as head coach if you help us lose some games so we can get a good draft pick?
Well, he's a first-year head coach, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, he doesn't want to be one and done and then be a coordinator again next year. You know, that would suck.
Mm.
But at the same point, I mean, they got to fire him at the end of the year, right?
I don't think so. It would almost be like saying, would you do that with Sean McDermott if when he took over the Bills, we went 16-0 the first time around? Would you fire him straight away?
Did you just say 16-0? Are you okay today?
No, I'm not okay. Yeah, they're gonna fire the head coach for going 16-0.
Yeah, do we need to start over?
Shit, the bear, what is wrong with me today? God, right, then, okay, wait. Focus, it was, if Bills went 0-16,
mm-hmm.
sake, would they actually get rid of McDermott?
No, probably not. I mean, I get it. I mean, the coach is involved in the drafting, and it's all a system, and they probably give him 3 years no matter what and everything. It's different, different sports, but yeah, 3 years is probably the minimum for a coach.
Yeah, because you're looking at the fact that, okay, I'm not defending the Dolphins at all here, but I'm just looking at it that Flores was hired really late in the year, in the off season, because of New England's involvement. Obviously, yeah. He's walked into a shitstorm there, so just like obviously Gase with the Jets almost. Mm-hmm.
Well, no, I mean, but Gase is bad anyway, and we all know that. So,
and obviously Flores is now picking up Gase's shit.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Just a complete and utter mess.
Yeah.
There. Thank God they're in our division.
Yeah. So I mean, looking obviously at some of the games going on, obviously Dolphins potentially, unless they have to face the Bengals, which I don't think they'll do, will be a head-to-head with the Bengals for that number one pick.
Yeah.
One thing that surprised me at the moment is the Jets are actually 7-3 up on the Cowboys.
I mean, Cowboys historically don't play well up in the Northeast. Dak Prescott just had a giant fat man fall on his helmet, so he might be shaken up. It's been an entertaining week. Really good fantasy scores all around. Tampa Bay blew it in London.
Yeah. I was happy with that.
That's such a good roster, and Jameis Winston doesn't want to win football games.
Yeah.
Maybe check him. He might be colorblind or something. Check him out.
I know. But then again, if you will not hear much of that being said during the week for Jameis Winston, but if that was Josh Allen.
Oh, yeah. Their local media has to hate Jameis Winston. I mean, he's consistently proven.
Yeah.
That he's a turnover machine. They have to do something down there. Speaking of turnovers, I love it when the Browns lose. just the way everybody crowned their ass in the offseason, and now they're realizing that, hey, maybe Baker Mayfield's not that great. I saw some defenders on Twitter of the Browns. They're like, it's Freddie Kitchens' first year. Baker Mayfield's youngish still. Yeah, but I mean, with the weapons you have and how good of a defense you're supposed to have, that needs to come together. I mean, and then I gave it a thought. I'm like, if we played the same schedule the Browns did, I said that we would probably be 3-3. So let me bring it up right now and let's see what you have to say.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, obviously they can, the defender's saying it's Kitchener's, first year as a head coach. You're forgetting that he was the offensive coordinator last year.
Yeah, so Mayfield, it's the same system. Well. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you probably won't even have the NFL, probably the national medias will not have a go at Mayfield for that. But again, Josh Allen, they think, oh, he's still a development project. He wants to play the hero and actually throw interceptions. Let's berate him.
Yeah, I mean, Baker Mayfield's completion percentage this year is like 57, 58, and Josh is in the mid-60s. So, yeah, there's really – I'm not going to compare them. I hate to, because I think Josh is a year behind. But the fact that he's doing better right now is great. I just want to see. I want to compare the Bills after we play a few good teams. You know, that's when I'll really get an understanding of who they are. So let's have the Bills play the Browns schedule. Week one, Tennessee, win.
Yep.
Week two, Jets, win.
Yep.
Week three, home against the Rams.
Well, we going on the basis of knowing what's happened this year, or we go on the basis of it would be a scratch like it was the beginning of the season?
It's week three. The Rams are, I think, 1-1. Go based off of, you know, the situation. I mean, coming in, the Rams were thought to take a step back. You know? So, but I think at home, you should beat the Rams because you got to win your home games, right?
Yeah, no, that's what.
Gurley, 70%. Jared Goff so far this year has looked off. I think our defense is clearly better than the Browns. It just comes down to, can we score points against the Rams' really good defense?
Yeah. So I'll probably say, if we're going on base on the ups and downs that the Rams have had this year so far, I would say that would be a win.
I would say that probably that'd be a game like the Patriots, where it's really close and it's going to come down to the fourth quarter, but I say we lose that game.
Okay.
Away at Baltimore.
Oh, we lost. I think as much as I think it could be a win, I still think I actually think Lamar's actually will be pushing Josh for that top quarterback of that draft, to be honest. I think he's done well. We can obviously
he had a monster game today. Monster game.
Yeah, so I think that
he would have, has no receivers. He's got a scrub bunch of wide receivers too, so he's really making the best of it. And at San Francisco.
Based on it, I would say loss.
Yeah, I would say that would again be a very defensive, low scoring game. A lot of these games are going to come down to what we see from Josh later in the year against Philadelphia again. But the Philadelphia's secondary is really bad. But like against Dallas, you know, there's tests later. We're not going to really know yet. Loss there, and then home against Seattle.
You'd want to think that.
For me to make them 3-3, I have them beating Seattle at home. But honestly, I might switch it. I might take that win against the Rams at home, but lose to Seattle. So that's my 3-3.
You have
a chance to make them 4-2 if you're letting them beat Seattle.
I think at home, again, this is me with all my positivity and all that, but I could see them doing it. But then again, the Seahawks, they've done all right this year. Now they're 5-1.
Yeah, they're playing great. But Russell Wilson's MVP caliber right now. Making DK Metcalf look like a really good draft pick, you know?
Yeah, I think you had him in one of your fantasy leagues and left him on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. You know, I'm not too worried about that. I mean, he's making catches, but he's not going off. But So you're saying we could beat Seattle at home?
Yes.
All right. I think Russell Wilson's just too smart, too good. He might not be able. In none of these games, none of these losses that I have, Rams, Baltimore, Seattle, are we getting blown out? They're going to be close games that I think the offense loses for us.
Yeah.
So I have us at 3-3 if we play the Browns schedule, which still is better than Cleveland right now. So
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no other results at the moment that actually that really stand out. I mean, obviously, apart from the Texans beating the Chiefs 31-24.
Yeah, I could have used a little bit more from Travis Kelce in that game, but that's just a really good game. Did you see that Deshaun Watson press conference where he was asked the question and he broke down the whole, like, basically all of Carolina's defense?
No.
All right, try and find that. There's this really, really good clip where this really stupid reporter asked Deshaun Watson, like, it was like a trick, not like a trick question, but like a gotcha kind of question about like defensive analysis at the line of scrimmage and stuff like that. And Deshaun Watson took the dude like not literally, but he took him to the film room and just broke down their coverages, Tampa 2, Cover 2, Cover 4, what this does, what that does. It's really smart. It really shows you the chess match that NFL football really is. So he's just a smart, great guy. And I mean, they're deep. I mean, JJ Watt and everything. I mean, Houston's legit. Yeah, that was a very entertaining game to watch. But yeah, I mean, we started talking about Zay Jones and quickly moved on from that. I think it's really easy to do that when you're talking about Zay Jones, just moving on from it.
But, yeah.
Have you seen, I love to go back and look at drafts and just to see the players that we missed for, instead of taking Zay Jones instead. So let's just go down the line. Offense only.
Okay.
Would you rather have Curtis Samuel?
Yes.
Delvin Cook.
Yes.
Joe Mixon.
Yes.
Juju Smith-Schuster.
Hell yes.
Cooper Kupp.
I'm not sold on him, so no.
I love me some Cooper Kupp. Alvin Kamara.
Oh, hell yes.
And it pretty much peters out after that. Chris Godwin.
Yeah, he's come into his own the last
he's been so
season
good
and a half,
year.
So...
Yeah. Kareem Hunt. Kenny Galladay.
Based on what we know of Kareem Hunt, probably
yeah, no,
not.
he's a trash person.
Yeah,
but I mean, good.
He's a hell. He was a hell of a player when he was actually focused.
Yeah,
on the game.
Yeah, I love that the Chiefs just cut him. I mean, that shows you that team, that owner, that front office really values having good people on a team. And if a guy is out there, you know, smoking pot, I don't care. But if he's doing what Kareem Hunt did, then yeah, I don't care how good you are, you're cut.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, the Zay Jones draft, that was Whaley, right? That was Whaley's last draft, I think.
Yeah, I think Dermot did have a little bit of say in it.
Well,
but I think it was mainly
because that was our Tre'Davious White pick. So yeah, that was the draft. Where I don't know if McDermott came out and said it or if a reporter, you know, said it, reported on something that McDermott said about how, oh, I was focused on the defense that draft. I didn't have time to go and look at quarterbacks, which is your Mahomes draft.
Yeah.
That's when we traded down. So, yeah, hate to hear that, but also hate to get that Zay Jones pick as well when there's such other talent on the board. But
exactly.
Fifth round draft pick, that's the best you could do for that. And of course, only the Raiders would trade that high of a pick for Zay Jones.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, the stats thing gave us nice what he said on Twitter about the organization.
Yeah.
But as we saw, Duke Williams came in. He played a lot better. He actually fought for a lot more balls. A bit more competitive than Zay Jones was in his last few games. So.
Yeah, if anything, you have to be competitive. If you're going to be dropping catches, don't get down. Go give 100% on every play, and that's kind of what it looked like Zay wasn't doing. So.
Anyway, that's all that for now. We can move on to our mailbag, I think.
Let's do it.
I think this time we've actually got quite a good... quite a good range of questions, which is all good, which I'm
great.
Actually kind of enjoying
and I,
now.
And I didn't pre-screen these, so I have no idea what they are, and I hope I don't get caught off guard.
Well, the first one is from, we're going to go on Twitter for this one. I'm going to save the one on Facebook for a bit later, because most of them came through Twitter, one came through Facebook. The first one is from David Schoons. He said, what area would you like the Bills to work on the most / improve during the bye week?
That's a really interesting question, because when I look at this team, I think the only thing that's missing is depth at corner, depth on the O-line. And obviously wide receiver, yeah. But I think that the thing about trading for a wide receiver is you can't expect them to step in, you know? It's going to take a few weeks. And luckily, we have a pretty soft schedule still. We only need everyone to be healthy and show up at the last, like, six games of the season. So we have a little bit of time here. It's clearly after what happened today with Minnesota and Stephon Diggs, they're not trading him.
Yeah.
Or if they are, he's going to be a first-round draft pick trade now, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas you could have got him for, like, a 3 and a 6 last week. Now he's a 1.
Hmm.
So if we were going to pull the trigger, Bean's probably like, ah, shit, now, you know? But, yeah, I mean, those are that's it for me. I mean, get a wide receiver. Do you want – there's no tight ends out there available in a trade, you know? But,
no.
Yeah, linebacker depth, safe cornerback depth, and offensive line depth, and I think that's pretty much it. I mean, you could get a starter on the offensive line and move guys around. But, I mean, when you look at what happened in Houston, it took, like, 4 weeks for Tunsil to fit in there, you know? So, I mean, we can't really afford that. If we have any shot or any hope still at the division, you have to win as many games, and you can't really have a guy come in and learn on the job. It's win now time, you know?
Yeah, I think with me for that question, I'm going to go more onto the practice side of it. And I think it's just trying to get everyone back on there. And obviously now with Duke available is to get him and the tight ends more involved in the system and the scheme. I think, yes, you don't want to, if it's not broken, don't change it with the defense. I think the defense, you're good with. I think it's still just trying to build up that chemistry between Josh and his offensive weapons and making sure that we can get out our best O-line to actually keep Josh upright, and hopefully he's learned from the last couple of weeks that you want to play more like you did against Tennessee than you did against New England. So
yeah, I think the most important thing probably would be to move Cody Ford into guard. And either have Nsekhe play right tackle or get a right tackle, you know?
I would like to see him give Ryan Bates a go. I think they drafted him.
Undrafted free agent. I mean, he's not going to – if he's good enough to start, he would be.
I think obviously if they didn't think there was something good about him, I think they would have cut him. I think they got him in the last couple of weeks of the season, of preseason.
Yeah, they chose to keep him over McDermott, so.
Yeah, so there's something they must have seen in him. Maybe it is the versatility that he could play
all five spots. I mean, they probably see him as a project, too, so. Because Nsekhe's not going to play forever.
Yeah, so I think there's potential if they give him some leeway and some room. I think he held his own when he came in for the last, however, 20-odd snaps or whatever he had.
Yeah.
But then again, they're still under relentless pressure. So I would like to see him get a shot. But as I say, as long as we can get work on the offensive side and get them all coherent and cohesive unit going, I think that's what they would need to really look on in the early season, in the bye week.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of people on Twitter talking about how, oh, if you can trade for Von Miller, this defense goes from great to Super Bowl caliber. And it's just like, all right, but who are you sitting? I mean, Von Miller's not going to split time with Lorenzo Alexander. He's going to come in and he's going to want to start. And he's not going to, and you're not going to, are you going to rotate Milano and Alexander and then have Von Miller start at the other end? It's tough to say. I mean, I think our linebacking core is good right now. We just really need a good, you know, better depth there.
Yeah. I think, and also in
mid-season, you don't make trades for depth. So it's going to be for a starter like we did with Benjamin. That looked
I think with Von Miller, it's also, are you really going to give up 2, 3 or so first rounds to get him? Yeah, you can't see Denver not asking for something like that price-wise to actually to trade for Von Miller.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, drafted in 2011. He might only have like 3 or 4 years left. And I don't know what's his contract. It doesn't say how many years he has left here, but yeah, it's just not worth it to me. So I guess we're all right then. I mean, unless it's trading, I mean, it'd be only trading for a wide receiver, right? Get him in tomorrow. If we're going to make a trade, we do it tomorrow and get him in for practice on Tuesday.
Yeah. Next question we have from, Chris Spencer. He said, who is your respective MVP for the season so far? He's gone with Jerry Hughes. I mean, not just so much he's get put out of the sacks, but he's constantly wreaking havoc and helping lead the pass rush and shutting down the running game. So who would your MVP be after 5 weeks?
Well, it's definitely someone on the defense, right? I mean, if it's anybody on offense, it's John Brown.
Yeah.
Or Deion Dawkins. But yeah, it's just because Allen likes to like when he breaks the pocket, he goes to the right. So we really need to figure that out. But no, it's either Tremaine Edmonds or Micah Hyde. And if you made me pick between the two, I'd say Tremaine Edmonds. The dude is like literally, I'd probably say the best middle linebacker in the AFC right now this season. And I'm talking just the season. I'm not looking at prior seasons. So, you know, Von Miller fans, calm down. But yeah, just Tremaine Edmonds has been unbelievable. He's everywhere on the field. He's on the ball. He's in the quarterback. He sees the field. He's calling out just everything about Tremaine Edmonds makes him my MVP this year.
Yeah, I think for me, it's got to be Levi Wallace. The guy's come in last season as undrafted. I think came in about halfway through the season and has not looked back since. I mean, even when you've got the likes of Kevin Johnson that's come in, and you've had the likes of EJ Gaines coming back in preseason, he still managed to hold that spot opposite Trey and actually, in my opinion, had a bit more of better fortune and better shutting down than Trey White. I think he might have given up a few yards, maybe I think a touchdown, and Trey White hasn't. But for me, it's just the way he's actually just started to improve to now know that at least starting our cornerbacks and our starting safeties, we've got a good secondary to build on, and obviously it's just getting the depth. So for me, it'd be Levi Wallace.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at every position on the defense and pick a guy, and you can't be wrong. I mean, Jordan Phillips.
Yeah.
You know, Micah Hyde, Jordan. I mean, Tre'Davious White. It's just everybody on that defense has done something of note. I mean, even guys like Shaq Lawson. I mean, don't look at counting stats when you're looking at this defense. It's advanced stats. It's pressures, it's beating your block, it's causing disruption so other guys can make plays. I mean, this whole defense, every single player can be talked about as the team MVP so far.
Yeah, I think you could probably make a case for the whole defense being the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, next question we've got is from Mark Liversedge. What's the missing ingredient that will elevate the Bills to be genuine Super Bowl contenders?
Time.
Yeah.
I think that Josh Allen in time will be a quarterback that can give you consistently smart play. And this is the thing that worries me, because when you have a really good defense, you don't have time on your hands. It's so difficult to bring a defense every year.
Yeah.
And you're going to lose guys. You know, Lorenzo Alexander's going to retire. You know, if anybody's due for free agency, is Bean going to pay them? You know, it's going to be tough. So, yeah, I think that maybe Josh Allen's maturity and the lack of a true number one wide receiver are what holds us back from being legitimate contenders with the Chiefs, the Texans, and the Patriots.
I think you've nailed it on the head. That's what I was going to go with. It is to get that out and out wide receiver. Yeah, I like the setup they've got where he's spreading the balls around. Okay, he's focusing more on Beasley and Brown at the moment because obviously of their experience, but you're seeing him spread it around using different receivers, which is good. But yeah, it is that number one receiver. I mean, if you're looking at it from a draft perspective, I mean, you have Jerry Jeudy. You've got the likes of CeeDee Lamb of Oklahoma. You've got Jalen Reagor of TCU. You've got these guys where they are actually becoming outstanding in college. They're already at that level where they've been talked about as first-round picks. I mean, I've seen Jerry Jeudy from Alabama go as high as 4, maybe even 3. Yes, okay, it's going to be there a bit, could be a bit high for a wide receiver, but
yeah, we're going to have to probably find someone in the 20s, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I probably will go on to that at another point.
Yeah, we'll do drafts later. Right now, yeah, it's all about the season.
But it's one of those things where you've got to look at them just being one wide receiver away, obviously, other than time for Allen to continue his development, which is obviously vital, but it's
that. Yeah, I mean, once Allen learns to not throw off of his back foot and learns to stay in the pocket and learns to slide, then he'll be ready.
Yeah.
And at that point, hopefully we have a number one, you know, lock on him wide receiver.
Yeah.
Because I just think John Brown, for as good as John Brown is, he's just probably too small for any of those, like, trust him in a one-on-one scenarios. I mean, it's so hard to go out and find your, you know, DeAndre Hopkins, but we need a DeAndre Hopkins.
Mm. Yeah. I think the next question is, again, from David Schoons again. This one will probably be a bit quick. Before, obviously, we've got the trade deadline coming up at the end of the month. Do you foresee, or would you like to see the Bills make any more further roster moves? I think we may have covered that briefly on there, but do you want to see them make another roster move? Do you think they should make another roster move?
Yeah, it has to either be for a right tackle or a wide receiver. Everything else is pretty much set.
Yeah.
Would I like to see it, though? And I think this is important. I mean, do you want to give up draft picks? How much of a development is this team still? You know, do we need still young talent to come in and, you know, do we have time to bring a guy in and give him a year? Or is it truly win now? We're obviously not at the end of our, you know, cycle. We're just beginning, but at the same time, you're looking at maybe losing 2 or 3 pieces on the defense, losing 2 or 3 pieces on offense. So yeah, it's just with how often rosters change, it just worries me that maybe you trade your pick if you think that you have a realistic shot at the division. Then I think you trade your number one for AJ Green.
Yeah,
but you have to sign him in the off season, or you sign him to an extension right now. It's trade and sign. Honestly, I mean, it wouldn't be as flashy, but like Trent Williams, I think it is from Washington.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, something more for Josh to, you know, get more comfortable. So one of those two things were the only things I would do. And would you be willing to give up our first round draft pick?
No. I think
you answered that very quickly.
Yeah, no, I think with some of the talent that can be in the first round come next year, I can't see, wouldn't want to give up that first round pick. I think with some of the people that we've mentioned, Trent Williams, Von Miller, AJ Green, you look at guys that are on the other side of 30.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, at least for Trent Williams, it doesn't matter because an offensive lineman plays longer anyway.
Yeah, I mean, with it, if we were gonna lose our first round, I would say it would have to be for a younger guy with a bit more upside on that. I mean, there is probably about three or four offensive tackles in the draft which are genuine first round talents, that there will be some there available wherever we pick.
Well, do you think with Lorenzo Alexander probably retiring, we take a middle linebacker with our first round draft pick?
No.
I have a feeling that they will. They care so much about defense, I think, that you replace Lorenzo Alexander immediately, I bet.
I can see where you come from on there. To be honest, there's one or two I actually do like, but I wouldn't class them at the moment as first round picks. I think with linebackers, you can get decent linebackers, and there's some decent linebackers in the draft, and all this draft talk is really, really getting me itchy to start talking about it.
You're a big draft guy, yeah.
But
well, let's hold it then. You don't want to trade the first round pick. You want to keep the first round pick. Yeah. I say if it's for something that's going to help us win this season, then yeah, do it. But only if it's AJ Green or probably nobody, and you have to sign him.
Yeah.
This season, you can't let him go. You wouldn't. I mean, they absolutely wouldn't. You know.
Yeah.
You don't trade your first round pick, then let him walk. No, this isn't, the NHL or anything. They do that all the time.
Yeah, no, I think the roster is fine as it is. Maybe you get one or two, maybe after the trade deadline as free agents, but I can't foresee him do any roster moves. I don't think they really maybe linebacker, but it's just one of those things where I think the roster is good as it is. It just needs time to gel more than anything.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are new on the offense, so it makes sense. Time. This bye week is going to be big. And obviously, next week against Miami, we should win by a billion, and it should be a real big confidence boost for the offense.
Yeah. Next question we have is from Liam Holmes. He says, would it be too simplistic to say the Bills are 4-1 due to immense defense and Josh Allen being great in the fourth quarter?
I mean, that's exactly why we're 4-1.
Yeah.
You know?
Part of me is thinking that is the case. Also, part of me is thinking is, let's have a look at what we've been up against. Jets, yes, they gave us a hard game.
They're hanging in there right now. Just 92-yard touchdown to Robbie Anderson.
Ah, oh, crap. I've just taken him out of my fan. Just dropped him from my fantasy team. Bloody hell. But, yeah, no. You look in the teams, obviously look in their records now, and what you're seeing, part of me thinks, yes, it is because of the defense and Josh Allen being able to play in the fourth quarter. But most of me is saying that it's just due to the opposition we've actually played. I mean, look at the Patriots game.
There is a chance for us to win that game. You know, if Josh plays, who knows what happens?
Yeah, but it's like you said earlier. It depends on when you find the when you speak to have a go at the bigger teams. So when you get the teams that are a little bit more like your Patriots, like obviously this year your Eagles, your Ravens, teams that are actually in above 500, that's where you actually where this question really could come into effect. If in some of those games we are in it and we win it in the fourth quarter, I would then say yes, it is because of the defense and Josh Allen being Mr. Clutch in the fourth. But
I really hope Bills Mafia are already on StubHub buying tickets for the Browns game. if we can fill that stadium the way we filled the Titan Stadium, I think that's going to be a really big indication of a really big help for that team down there, because that's going to be one of those games where you have to win. That's probably, I don't know about the Eagles, but I think, yeah, the Eagles are probably our first test, then the Browns. Yeah. Cowboys right now look beatable. And then Ravens and then Patriots. But honestly, the schedule is the schedule. It is what it is. The schedule makers really helped us out. It's not like they did it on purpose. It's just the way that it falls. But I mean, you take every advantage you can.
Yeah, so I think it's a good question. It opens up a lot of debate. I think potentially we could come back in week 12 after the Cowboys game, or even after the Ravens game, come back and then say, is it because of it? And see if it is the case. So I think at the moment, being six games in and who we faced, I'll probably say it's because of the opponents rather than what we've actually done. Because to say Josh Allen's killed us in a few games where if he hadn't done the turnovers, we wouldn't need him to be that fourth quarter Mr. Clutch in the game. So
yeah,
I would say if we revisit that in week 13, week 14, after we played the Ravens and had that little bit of a schedule, then we can actually see from there.
Touchdown Jets, 21-3. It's making our victory against them look all the better, especially for our defense. And it's making the Cowboys look beatable. It's just that we play the Cowboys in Dallas. And that Week 17 matchup against the Jets, I mean, unless they go on some kind of streak, they're going to be out of it. But, I mean, they don't look like an easy W right now. So we'll see. Yeah.
Next question we have is from Tim Rudge. He goes, what do you believe the direction will be next year at running back with only Singletary and Yeldon under contract?
I don't know. They probably sign another guy. They might draft someone with their fifth round draft pick. I honestly, as great as a story as it is, I don't think that Christian Wade's going to be a rosterable player. No one who hasn't played football their whole life can just step in and play at a position like that.
True.
Because, I mean, blitz pickups, and unless the guy is, you know, Einstein in the film room. So, it'd be great if he is, because it's an amazing story, and the guy clearly has strength and speed. But he's just got to work on his football vision, and that's one of the toughest things to probably do, because it's very instinctual. I mean, you look at the kind of stuff. Go and watch the advanced tape on Frank Gore this year. Patience and understanding where your blocks are going and how to bait linebackers into hitting gap A when you're going to cut and go gap B. I mean, that's stuff that, I mean, Christian Wade has to learn all in 1 year, and Frank Gore's been doing it his whole life. So it's going to be tough.
But I mean,
last thought on this, for me at least, running back, plug and play. So I don't really care.
Yeah, I think they will re-sign Gore. I think they'll give Gore another year. I think what he's done so far, he's actually done it. I think
that's going to be up to Gore.
I think Singletary will take over the lead role.
Yeah,
next year for sure. Maybe even come.
I don't think we're gonna have a lead role. I don't think that's the way this team is gonna be built. I think that if we let Frank Gore go, then we go get a Frank Gore replacement. If he retires, we go get a Frank Gore replacement, because Singletary is gonna be a guy who's probably only going to get 15 snaps a game. I mean, not snaps, but 15 touches a game. And you have to have another guy who's gonna get 10 to 12, and that's not Yeldon and that's not Wade. So
yeah. So I believe they will look to re-sign him. I mean, again, with my draft hat on, I know there are going to be some really good running backs in the mid rounds that will come in. There are some that are our special, which should be higher, but for reasons unknown, they're a bit lower. But I think running back is a premium position that, as you say, it's by committee, it's looking like at the moment. Okay, with Singletary out, it's just pretty much Gore. If they feel like they're going to pass it or anything like that, then they'll bring Yeldon in. But it's one of those that you don't know what's gonna happen.
Right.
But it's interesting to see how the season plays out. If Gore continues how he is, I see him being there for at least another year to be that mentor still for Singletary and actually be his, in inverted commas, backup.
Mm-hmm.
And actually learn and get him developed a little bit more. But I know going forward, you will have Singletary as your, in inverted commas, lead back on there. But you're going to still need that veteran presence just to keep him up.
Yeah, it's got to be a 60-40 split.
Yeah. So you're going to have him there. So I think they re-sign him. I think potentially they may even cut Yeldon at the end of the season. Depends on what he can actually do. Because I like from the draft, Zach Moss of Utah.
Yeah, we're definitely not going to keep Yeldon around.
Yeah. I like Zach Moss from Utah, who can catch and run the ball. So I think if he's available to us in round 3, maybe 4, yeah, I think they take him.
Still too high, if you ask me, for a running back. It's not a position of need. You need other guys. I think we still do. So, but yeah, that's on a draft. That's a draft show. That's not now.
Yeah. So I think they'll keep Gore. I think Yeldon goes, and they replace him with someone from the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Next question is from Massey. Is should Dawson Knox be used more in the offense, or does he need more time to develop? For me,
great question.
For me, it's how the ball's actually lining up the schemes. I think at the moment, the schemes aren't there where he's trying to target the tight ends. When he comes in, Knox is making those plays. You can see that he's already at that level where he's got the development, but still needs a bit more. But it's how the scheme is. I think DeBall's trying to use more run, trying to make more use of the wide receivers than he is at tight ends. But when he does use tight ends, I think Knox has already established himself probably as a number one, even when Tyler Croft comes back.
You can cut Croft now, right? I mean, it's not like some injury thing where you can't cut him. You can. They just probably don't want to lose that money. They want to get some of that money's worth from him.
I think, honest, after the
he's
first...
He's trusted, and I think that's the most important thing, that he's trusted. I mean, in the fourth quarter, he's one of those... He's probably the number two option in the fourth quarter behind John Brown for Josh Allen.
Yeah, I think... With Croft, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, if he gets another injury before he takes a snap, then release him. But I can still see him play a role, even if it is like third string. Because what I've seen, Sweeney had a good first game or two, but since then, he's not really done anything. I think Croft there, at least for the season, then let's say they get a friendly contract where they can cut him at the end of the season if they want to. I think they use him for a year just to give Sweeney a break and get him developed a lot more, and then you get rid of Croft.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting thing to see about what they're going to do about that position, because you like Croft. I mean, it's really easy to like Croft right now. You just want to see, are they not giving him a lot of reps because he's too green still? Just too raw. He's not being able to pick up his blitzes. I mean, what is it about him not getting more shots? Is his route running still really weak? Who knows? But I think that's definitely going to be a project. And I say don't look to it Don't rely on it. Definitely try and, you know, focus on more wide receiver situations. But I think they're bringing Knox along slowly on purpose and for a reason.
Yeah, I mean, next question, we'll try and get through these as quick as possible, is from Keir Harness, saying, is Josh Allen getting too much pressures with – oh, hold on, doesn't make any much sense here. Josh Allen still getting too much pressure slash sacked. How far has the O-line moved forward this year? So I think his question there is...
Yeah, no, I get it. I mean, is he getting pressured too much? I think that Josh is holding the ball too long. And I don't know if that's because he's not trusting his receivers in one-on-one situations. Is that him not trusting... Is he in his head too much because of the turnovers? Or is it wide receiver separation? But it's definitely not the O-line. He's holding the ball longer than most quarterbacks in the league when you look at that statistic. So the O-line is affording him the time. Our offensive line is middle of the pack, maybe top half in terms of Pro Football Focus grading, grade outs, and stuff like that. So it's just a lot about Josh's development. I mean, he has an opportunity to make the offensive line look really good or look really bad.
Yeah.
If because he can scramble, and he does. He scrambles into sacks sometimes. I mean, the offensive line can only be asked to do so much.
Yeah. I think with me, I don't think it is the O-line. Palmy says a little bit it is, mainly because what's going on the right side. I think with the rotation of Ford and Seki, that's causing a little bit onto it. But yeah, it's Allen's decision making and how long he's holding on and trying to go through all his reads. That is probably the reason why the sacks and pressure is that much, because there's only so much that an offensive line can hold out a D line who's actually got more of the leverage on you.
Yeah, I'm watching the games as we're doing this show, and my God, the Rams are getting just shut down by this Niners defense. And I don't know, us outside of Sherman, I can't name a guy on this Niners defense, but yeah, their defensive coordinator is got his headset off, and he's just acting like a player on the field right now. Good for the Niners. I mean, I remember Chris Berman always talking about Niners bills and stuff like that. When you mentioned the rotation, I think that you have to, because Ford is unreliable at right tackle, and Seki is old and can't do it all game. So what do you do? You know, And that's why I'm saying you got to make a move or something.
I think you've got to say, Ford, you're a tackle, or Ford, you're the guard. Let's get Inseki in as quickly as possible, because I can't see anything else. I can't see anything else really that's causing that can actually be done. I think until you get that settled O-line, then.
Yeah, and that and Josh Allen, learning more.
Yeah, but I think, let's say, that comes, as we said earlier, with time.
Yeah.
Next question. I think we've got a couple more. So the next question we have is from Kat. She goes, I'm going to Buffalo and America for the first time ever for the Eagles games. She's very excited, and she's got any hints and tips. I would say to Kat, if she's listening, have a listen to episode 4 of this podcast, where we did our first mailbag. Alex does a pretty much a travel guide of Buffalo. But have you got any more hints or tips for Kat, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, what I said in that one basically is the most important thing is to rent a car. Buffalo is really spread out. There's a bunch of different small towns here and there and whatnot. So just rent a car, hang out in the Elmwood Village, Elmwood Avenue, Delaware Avenue, closer to downtown area, Hurdle Avenue, which is a little bit of a drive from, it's like a 10-minute drive from downtown. Most of the hotels, though, don't stay at a hotel by the airport, because then you're looking at like a 15-20 minute drive everywhere you want to go. But I mean, that's kind of how Buffalo is. Everything is a 10-20 minute drive away. Don't try and eat at any local American chains. I mean, eating the fast food is very tempting in America. I don't know if anybody's seen or how you would have seen, but at our KFC, they do this thing called the mashed potato bowl, where it's mashed potatoes, gravy, chicken, corn, and cheese. But now they do a mac and cheese bowl, where it's mac and cheese and chicken and more cheese. So try and stay away from that. Eat local, eat good. We don't use TripAdvisor as much as you do here. We use an app called Yelp, Y-E-L-P, and that will give you the what's good, what's hot, best places. My favorite place is Lloyd Tacos, Lloyd Taco Factory on Hurdle Avenue. Check them out. And get good Buffalo pizza. One of the best things about Buffalo pizza is, I'd say, the pepperoni. Instead of it being big and flat, they're small, and the edges crisp up, and you get a bunch of grease and oil inside of it. And it sounds very bad for you, because it is, but it's also very, 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 very delicious. And you're probably not going to find a bad pizza place in Buffalo. So just, like I said, stay away from the chains, use Yelp, and rent a car, and please drive on the correct side of the road when you're in America.
We don't want any... We don't want any legal issues, and
not like the ones that we're having right now. So, but yeah, let's not talk about that.
Yeah,
let's go. Good luck, have fun, and enjoy your time there.
Yes, let's go to the final question, which we've got from Facebook, which is from Phil Arnold. It's a long one.
And some sleeper picks for wings. Obviously, Duff's is number one, but. The two hot ones right now, 9/11 Tavern and I forget the other one, but my wife just really wanted to go when we were just there. We didn't get a chance to, but she wanted to go to this place called Mamosier's. I've never heard of it. Apparently they do really, really good barbecue, like on the pit wings. I don't know how to spell that, so forgive me. But yeah, 9/11 Tavern and Mamosier's. So get wings and enjoy the blue cheese. Please, dear God, don't use ranch.
let's not get into that discussion. Let's go on to the last question from Phil Arnold on Facebook. Bit long-winded, but hopefully the answer will be quite quick. He goes, without going into too much depth, as the draft is miles off, it's kind of disappointing me, this question, because I really wanted to talk, as you know, about the draft. But he said, what position would you be looking to strengthen with the first round pick? Obviously, at the moment, the draft position affects it, and we'll probably be expecting around the 20th pick. So the very top talent's gone. For him, it would be a wide receiver, a tight end, not much else there position-wise. But where would you look at strengthening with that first-round pick?
That's a really good question. Like I said, it's probably you're looking at if Lorenzo Alexander retires. I mean, we talked about this just a little bit earlier in this show. Based on the roster right now, if there are no roster changes, and there obviously will be, but if there's no roster changes, then you're probably looking at offensive tackle or wide receiver or cornerback, maybe defensive end. Yeah, it depends on the talent there, but I'd probably say defensive end, because you want to be able to get to the quarterback by only rushing four. So with Ed Oliver and a really good defensive end, you'll probably get that wide receiver and right tackle.
I think, as I say, this is one that I really would love to spend some time talking about. But as you say, even though I disagree with it, it's not near. It's way too early in the season for draft talk. I think that's complete rubbish. I really want that draft talk, but I will hold off on it. But for me, yeah, bloody, yeah. there are the draft is going to be deep in a fair few positions. For me, I'm probably going to say you're looking at the O-line, maybe a tackle, and probably a wide receiver. I don't think tight end is a big need. Cornerback, possibly. Linebacker, yeah, as I said earlier, you probably get a couple in round two or round three that will come in. I mean, just take a look at Chase Winovich from the Patriots, for example. Round three pick, and he's already playing at a high level. Maybe it's because it's the Patriots scheme, but he was someone I was high on. So you can get linebackers and wide receivers in rounds two and three. I would look, especially if you've only got Nsekhe for potentially a season, maybe two, that you look for a tackle. And as I say, there is a few tackles which will be available around that around that 20th pick that could come in and make a start and push forward to guard where he should be. So, but as I say, we'll probably discuss that a little bit later on in the season. So,
yeah.
I think
there's a lot of questions about what the Bills could do better. Hey, we're 4-1. Let's not worry about what we're going to do in the off season. I like the questions about what are we going to do at the trade deadline, because when are we ever buyers at the trade deadline, you know?
Yeah.
So, hey, we're 4-1. Let's get better this year. Let's make a move. Let's get a guy on for a wide receiver. Let's get a guy for offensive tackle. Let's win this. I mean, right now the Cowboys look beatable. The Eagles look beatable. I mean, we could be looking at, if the offense stays average and Josh slows down on the turnovers, we're looking at probably what could be, knock on wood, cross your fingers, do anything that you need to do, possibly one of the best season records of all time in Bills history.
Yeah, I think today, in the last week, the questions have been really good, really got us talking and debating quite a bit, so it's good. Hopefully we'll do another one later on in the season. Please keep giving us your questions, regardless of when they are, whether they'll be for our preview show or our review show or anything, because we genuinely love answering your questions.
Yeah, this is, I'd probably say, the most fun part of doing this podcast.
Yeah, so keep them coming in. And next episode, we'll have our preview of the Dolphins game.
That should be short.
Yeah, it will be short. That's why we've hopefully got a couple of interviews lined up as well for it.
Let's just do the Dolphins preview right now. Bills will win. There, it's over.
So the next episode will be not a preview show. It'll be an interview show. No, we hopefully will have some people may know of him, Nate Coombs. Hopefully we can get him interviewed, and someone we were supposed to have for this episode, but there were circumstances dictating that they couldn't.
Yeah, schedules are schedules. It's all right.
Yeah,
we'll talk with them soon.
Yep. We were supposed to have NFL Network's Taylor Biscotti coming on, but hopefully we'll get her on for the Dolphins preview. So hope you enjoyed this mailbag. As I say, please continue hitting that subscribe button. Please leave us the reviews, comments, give us your questions, follow us on every single social media, download, listen. Help us make this podcast your podcast. We want to make it for you. We enjoy talking to you about the Bills, giving you our views, love hearing your views, love discussing your views. So keep those coming in. And is there anything else you want to add before we close up, Alex?
I was going to give a season prediction with an actual number, but I'm scared to do it. So,
really?
The Bills are going 12-4.
Ooh, you're joining me on that, are you?
Let's go. And end it now before I change my mind.
All right. So for that time, until next time, for Alex, this is Matt, and we will say go Bills.
Go Bills.
Not us.
Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about heart. You don't know anything about work.
No. Huh? That's who we are. Those on three. One, two, three.